Hey, hey, people of Earth, it's time to enter the Spoilerverse via our secret portal at the exclusive Arctic Club in beautiful downtown Seattle with our hosts, John and Kenrick and Casey. Welcome to Spoiler Country.
Hey, if you're listening to our show for the first time and you're on one of the social medias that we're on, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any of those kinds of things, you should always check us out on Spoilerverse.com. But if you want to keep up with our latest episodes, you should bring out your smartphone, get into your favorite podcatcher, find Spoiler Country, and hit subscribe. Then you'll get all our new stuff.
And if you want to reach out to us, you can do that in two ways. You can call us, leave us a voicemail at 707-656-2080. Again, 707-656-2080. Or you can shoot us an email at spoilercountry@gmail.com. Welcome back to Spoiler Country. I am Johnny Horsley, and today on the show, we've got writer Frank Martin talking with Casey about his new Kickstarter, The Last Homicide, which is the first part of a two-part crime series that looks absolutely phenomenal. Frank comes on, chats with Casey about this series and about a couple more things. I'm really excited for you guys to check this out. There'll be links in the show notes down to the Kickstarter as well as on our socials, so definitely go out and check that out. And I'm not going to waste any more of your time. Let's get right into it and listen to Frank and Casey in their own words.
Welcome again to another episode of Spoiler Country. Today on the show, I have writer Frank Martin. Frank Martin is putting out a new book called The Last Homicide. It's part one of two, and it's on Kickstarter today. Today, you can go on to Kickstarter.com and find The Last Homicide by Frank Martin. And if you like gritty noir, if you like comics that do not involve capes, so far, insofar as I know, because it sure as hell didn't show any in the first issue. Oh my God, this thing is amazing. Frank, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, but spoiler alert, at the end of the second part, a superhero is going to come down and said, I did it all along, ha! I should just do that, just for the hell of it.
Fake everybody out. So, okay. This book, I've read your stuff before. I've really enjoyed it. This book is kind of a departure from some of the other stuff that I've read of yours. And
you can use that phrase for pretty much everything I put out there.
But that's fucking great, man. I love that. You don't want things to get stale. And also, like, it just goes to show, like, the breadth of work that you can do and how versatile your writing can be. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. People like write or they create what they like. And, I mean, I really like everything. So it's not like I'm just a big horror fan and I only go to horror shows. So I'm going to write a whole bunch of horror stuff. It's like, I like everything. I like noir detectives, hard boiled kind of pulp stories like this. I like superheroes. I like sci-fi. I like horror. I like fantasy. And if my wife asks me to sit down with a rom-com with her, I'll watch that damn thing too. So, I mean, I like everything, so I'm not going to write something that I don't like. And since I kind of have a wide range of tastes, that's kind of where my work gravitates towards.
Awesome, awesome. So was there any inspiration that you had in this book in particular? Because, like, noir fiction is, you know, they're generally, you're standing on the shoulders of giants with these books.
Yeah, I got really sucked into The Maltese Falcon when I had to read it in middle school. That's a book that, I mean, I haven't read it in years, if not decades, but it's always stuck with me. You know, those classic tropes. It was a super easy to get into, super easy read. And it's all that, those kinds of stories from the golden age of Hollywood, it's the tropes and the stereotypes and the themes have bled into our culture, you know, to the point where people recognize them, even if they've never seen a story or a movie or read a story that's like that, you know? So yeah, tons of inspiration on that front. So we have the detective side of things, and this is also, it's also a crime story. You know, it's not just kind of a detective murder mystery. So it's big into the mafia, into the mob. And we have tons of great shows and stories like that that have bled into our collective consciousness, like The Sopranos and The Departed. So I kind of jammed those two things together and tried to create an original tale of my own.
It's nice. I've really enjoyed it. And in addition to the great writing that, you know, is throughout, your art team really is hitting on all cylinders, man. I gasped with how beautiful this book looked. And you know, Pietro Vaughn is really amazing. And you have some really great colors in there by Eugene Bedevue.
Yes.
And letters by Tobin
Race.
What is that?
Race the Cot.
Awesome. Okay, Race the Cot. But yeah, everybody is working together just perfectly in sync. And I actually had to review a book not long ago, and the letters were not good in the book. And that can hurt the entire thing. So yeah. Having a capable letter is everything. And so everybody in this book is pulling their weight and just making a really beautiful book.
God bless Toby, man, because I've started lettering my own books. So I'm very picky about how I want things to look. And I was going back and forth with him, and he was a trooper. He didn't complain at all. And also, when it comes to stories like this, you know, there's not a lot of action to drive the scene forward. It's very hard boiled. It's very dialogue heavy. So sometimes when you're writing the script, you don't really realize just how much damn words is going to take up the page when you go to letters. So I trimmed a lot of the dialogue after the fact, and he just was right in step with me, kind of making sure that the dialogue balloons didn't overpower the art. And that the dialogue flowed to the point where that it's still just a readable scene. It's not just a mess of words.
And there's so much characterization in this book. And, you know, this 27-page book, there's so much just solid characters. And again, yeah, it seemed like Tobin was very, very aware of not wanting to stamp on the art, because Pietro just really knocked it out of the park on this. So yeah, you got a good team here, man.
Thanks. Yeah, the characters, I mean, my last book was The Polar Paradox, and that was kind of a sci-fi adventure story, and people like the characters in that story too, but the characters took a backseat a lot to the action and to the setting stuff that you don't have a whole lot here. This story is really driven by the drama. So drama is really only as good as its characters and their relationships. So you really got to really have formulated characters, strong foundational characters, so that when they are in a scene together and they're spitting their dialogue back and forth, they clash and make and really amp up the tension of the scene without throwing punches or having any sort of visual cues that really engage the reader.
Yeah. So you guys, you have the Kickstarter going on right now. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the Kickstarter is going to, I mean, as we're talking about this, it's live now. It just launched today, and I've been running my campaigns for 3 weeks. So it's going to be on there for 21 days. I think we're ending on the 27th. Of April. And with my campaigns, I like to offer, of course, you got to have a digital reward, people that don't want to get a physical book so that they can read the story. I've also been offering like a digital deluxe reward tier, which has usually been the script and maybe some concept art. For this, the digital deluxe is going to include two short crime stories that I've had sitting on my computer that I think people will get a kick out of. So it's basically the regular book, and then some extra short stories in there, crime related. Then we have a standard cover, which we were talking about before we started recording, that our interior art team did a phenomenal job with this cover. It really sets the atmosphere. It was perfect. I couldn't imagine a better cover that kind of really gets you in the mood for this book. And then my buddy Luke Cooper did a variant, and we also have a black and white noir version of that standard cover that's virgin, that has no dress on it.
That's awesome. So it is a genuine noir cover.
Yes. Yes.
The pricing on this is really, really good. Like, generally, if it's if I see a digital edition for more than like $10, unless it's like huge, I'm like, oop, sorry, I'm out. You guys are out the gate at $5, which is, you know, it's a deal, especially given the story that you guys have and how beautiful it looks. But even your actual physical edition is, you know, just $10, which is, you can't beat that with a stick.
It's indie publishing is tough, man. It's really hard that Marvel and DC kind of set the market prices for their books when they print tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of copies, and they get it's dirt cheap for them to print their books, and we don't print nearly as many copies as them, so our price per unit is a lot higher. Yet readers still expect it to be on par with the same pricing model that they have. So the way I figure it is kind of $5 for the book, $5 for shipping and all the accoutrements that come along with that. And Kickstarter has its own little market going where it's taken some trial and error. But I feel that $10 for the physical book, all in with shipping, is something that the market can bear, and readers and backers are happy to pay it too, because they understand that this is an indie book, so it's going to be a little bit more worth their dollar. And then, but still, there's always a breaking point, you know.
Oh yeah.
$14-15 for a 20-page book. I think I got 24 pages, 23 pages of story in here. So if you got a regular size floppy and you want $15 with shipping, a lot of people are going to balk at that.
Yeah, and you got some. It's well worth the price. In addition to that, though, you also have some, like, become a character for $425, produce a short comic for $750. But even then, going down to like private drabble session, can you tell me a little bit about that?
So I'm always, that's a tough price point. You know, I try to, my top tiers are always usually like commissions or create something. And then I got the lower tiers with the books. That's $75 one, you know, man. I'm always trying to try new things to insert into that slot. So one of the things I love writing in prose are drabbles, which are 100-word stories. They're exactly 100 words, not 99. Not 101. And I've written so many of them, and they're a lot of fun, that I felt like it's a particular skill of mine that's really strong, that if people want to learn how to do it, how to write it, because it's not like writing a regular story. It's more like crafting a puzzle, you know? So I figure if people are interested in it, I can sit down with them with a Zoom call for 45 minutes and give them all the tips and all the tricks to kind of craft their own.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So do you guys have plans for any like stretch goals or anything like that? Or are y'all just going to stick to the standard things that you get, like just the regular book?
I always keep stretch goals in the back of my mind. You know, I kind of know what I'm going to do. They're always typically the same from campaign to campaign. But for as far as really planning them all out and creating graphics and announcing them, I never do any of that until I'm well past my goal. You know, I'm not one of these count your chickens before they hatch. I'm just super pessimist. I'm always assuming that I'm going to get 99% of the goal, and then I'm just going to have half of the backers drop out simultaneously. Like it's a big scheme.
That's a little thing called imposter syndrome. I think we all suffer from that just a little bit.
You know what? Personally, I don't know. It's a pet peeve of mine. I find it a little tacky when people launch and they already have stretch goals on there and they're not even close to their goal yet. So, oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. It rubs me along the wrong way. So I try not to let it enter my mind until I'm firmly in that territory.
Well, all I'm saying right now is you're nearly halfway there with 21 days to go. So you might want to be thinking about some stretch goals there, buddy. So, yeah, man, this book is amazing. I can't wait for people to get their paws on it, because it really is just a badass book. And it's going to be a two-parter. So two books out of this and you're done. Do you have any plans to move on with these characters later on?
No. I had a lot of questions with the Polar Paradox, because I'm like in a two-part kind of mode. My previous campaign was two parts. My next one is going to be two parts. But with the Polar Paradox, people always ask me, is there going to be a follow-up after the two parts? And that one, the ending was left open. So there's definitely a possibility. Not with this one. With The Last Homicide, it's going to be two parts in and out. And the way it ends in the second part, I don't think we're going to be able to carry it on.
Ooh. Nice. So when do you guys expect to have the book shipped? And then after that, when should we expect to see the second part to the story go up on Kickstarter?
So I'm crazy with campaigns right now. I'm kind of busting them out. So I try to do stuff as quickly as possible. I've already got a proof of the book. So I've seen it. I've held it.
Oh.
Yeah. So the book is with the files are with the printer. As soon as the campaign is over and I know exactly how many copies I need, I place my order the next day. So, and then it takes about a week and a half to get them. I start shipping, fulfillment's going to be another week and a half. And then however, it's in the hands of the United States Postal Service to get to everybody. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if after the campaign ends, people are going to start having their books 3, 4, or 5 weeks right after. And as far as part two goes, we haven't started art on part two. I've written the script. It's all done. As you were mentioning, the become a character tier, that was for a single character in part two. There's only one of them available, and it's a kind of a main character. It's a speaking role. He takes up a good portion of the book. A character that's not in part one. So as soon as we know if anybody's going to grab that, then we'll know that we can include their likeness in the book and bust out the art. When should that be? I'm not sure. 6, 8 months, kind of a little bit down the line. It's not going to be as quick as some of my others, but
still, that's not bad.
It's not terrible. In my mind, I like to have things done as quickly as possible. So when I have to tell people 6 to 8 months, it's a little, I don't know, discouraging. But yeah, I know some campaigns, they run an issue a year. So it's kind of like you have to wait a whole year to get the next issue in a series. So I try to do things as quickly as I can.
That's awesome. Yeah, we offered Become a Character in the Kickstarter for my book, Voodoo Child. And the person that did it said, I don't want to be a character. I want my cats to be, which makes initially presented like a huge issue. I was like, oh, shit. And then it clicked. And I was like, I am so happy about this. This is going to be so awesome. And every time I think about it, I'll laugh a little bit because it's going to be so over the top and off the wall. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to put that book out.
Yeah, every problem is actually an opportunity. So
exactly. I'm sure you've seen that a lot. You've learned a lot because you have to do a lot of stuff on the fly when you self-publish.
Yeah, I a good kind of mantra is the problem is the solution. You know, that's how you have to look at things.
I hear you. So is there any other things that we need to look out for from Mr. Frank Martin in addition to this book?
So yeah, the reason I want to get shorten my fulfillment time is because I want to move on to the next campaign. So after this one, I'm going to move on to the Polar Paradox Part 2, which was the sci-fi adventure story. After that, I'm launching a kind of a fun horror adventure book called Pipe Creepers. The way I kind of pitch that is Super Mario Brothers versus Cthulhu. So
That's awesome.
That should be fun. I got a kind of a post-apocalyptic war story called The Truce. And then I think my next campaign after that will be Last Homicide 2. So, yeah, there's going to be that three in between.
That's crazy. So, man, that's awesome. So you guys keep an eye out for Frank Martin. The Last Homicide is on Kickstarter now. You can go there and get this book. And, you know, a super easy buy-in. Like, it's not going to hurt your pocketbook. And, yeah, get this book. You will not regret it. So, Frank, you have anything else to say before we head on out?
No. The book is, it's not for everyone. You know, if you're huge into Star Wars and you love nothing else, I don't think you're going to like it. But if you like crime stories at all, if you like detective stories, mysteries like that, definitely give it a shot. And hopefully you dig it.
If you like good books, check this book out.
If you like good things, all the good things that you'll like.
If you like shit, don't even bother. If you like good stuff, my man Frank Martin, he's got it. Frank, it was good talking to you, buddy.
Thanks, Casey.
All right, take it easy, brother.
And we're back.
That's right. We are back. Back in the saddle again. Well, I hope you guys really, really enjoyed that as much as we did making it for you. And if you like what you heard and you want to hear more, you got to go check out spoilerverse.com, because at spoilerverse.com, we have a plethora. Plethora is such a, it's such a snobbish word.
I like it though. It's a good word.
We have an obscene amount of interviews with amazing directors and artists of all walks of life, and editors and writers. And oh my God, are you a lover of comic books like we are? Then there's so many amazing people from the comic book world over at spoilerverse.com. And I highly implore you to go there and check it out.
Yeah, and while you're there, you can check out all the other podcasts on our network, like Bridges of the Geekdoms and Funny Book Forensics and Haphazard Adventures and Nerds from the Crypt and so many more.
Misery Point Radio.
Episodes all the time. Misery Point Radio has got a ton of great stuff out there. Go check all of them out. And check out all of the reviews and previews and articles we have going up every single day for you, every day on spoilerverse.com for you to check out, to read, and to love, and to like, and to comment. We have a store link. If you want to help support the site, do it two ways. One, go to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/spoilercountry, or go to our store link in the middle of the site there and get a t-shirt, a face mask, a hoodie, something. Look fly as hell and help support the site when you do that, because we get a dollar or two. And, you know, maybe you want to talk to us. If you do, you can do it, you know, obviously on all the socials. But if you go to scpod.us/discord, you can join our public Discord server and come chat with us all day long.
I couldn't say it better myself, dude.
There you go.
You just mouthed out a ton of information at once. And really, I hope you guys enjoy what you're hearing, because we're working our butts off to bring it to you.
We are.
I guess there's only one left thing. One left thing?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with it. There's only one left thing left to do.
What's that?
In an oceans of podcasts, we are Cthulhu. As Cthulhu compels you to do, open the mind. And read more.